Mini episode 216 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.info.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to FDH Lounge, mini episode number 216. This is your usual combo of Rick Morris and Kyle Ross, albeit doing a phoner this week, as I, Rick Morris, am down in the ATL visiting family for Thanksgiving this week. We hope that you and yours certainly are having a very merry Thanksgiving, very happy Thanksgiving, whatever the nomenclature may be. And certainly, if you've been following our plays during the year, we know that this is a very good week, a very good time of year for you. My picks last week, my third consecutive 9-5 outing overall, only 1-2 on my big three, 0-1 on my lock pick, unfortunately. My picks for the year, 81-76-3 overall, 17-15-1 on the big three, 7-4 at 64% on my lock picks. Kyle, doing very, very, very well for the season. Another 2-1 week, 27-16-1, a shocking 63% clip verified for the season for Kyle Ross, a longtime top-notch player in his industry. And as we bring him in, Kyle, I think we can tell the people, this being mini episode number 216, Lounge 216 means the people are getting some football winners.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, man, I remember there was a time when I was young and I used to love it, just the thought of watching football all day long and just how great it was. I'll tell you what, being old and writing up a lot of football is not quite as fun. But I am, as always, pleased to be with you midweek going over these games. And what did I tell you last week about Pittsburgh-Baltimore, by the way? Did I not guarantee that that game would fall in that price range?
You did. Here's the thing, though. I knew there was no way Pittsburgh was winning with a backup quarterback, and you've cautioned me before, be very wary of taking a team to cover if you don't think they can win outright. So
very
this is just
true.
One of those
very
times.
True.
Yeah, they snuck in the back door. What can I say? Now, you ragged on old road favorite Ricky on the Green Bay game, but you know what? You look at the Baltimore game. I lived by the half point. I died by the half point.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Maybe as unlucky as you were with Baltimore, because Pittsburgh outside of that first drive, I mean, you had to be, you know, there'd be a lump in your throat when they came right down and scored. But they did the very definition of nothing. Green Bay, a very fortuitous cover when it looked like the Lions were possibly going to steal the game outright. But that's just the season the Lions have been having. And it's funny that we bring up the Lions because it's Thanksgiving, obviously, and bettors know, and trust me, I think I speak for many bettors' families when I say that there's been many Thanksgiving Day dinners ruined by the Detroit Lions early. I know mine certainly has once or twice where they have, found defeat from the jaws of victory. I will certainly be laying off the Thursday game as they host the Houston Texans. I don't really like the Thursday card at all. I know that, probably by the time this shows up, Thanksgiving will have come and gone, and I would like to echo your sentiments and wish all of the listeners a very happy Thanksgiving. But a tough Thanksgiving card, but I do like Sunday, I'll tell you that.
Okay, well, let's get the three Thanksgivings out the way because, again, as is generally the case for the Thursday games, you need to check the FDH Lounge Twitter page, and it's probably too late by the time you've heard this, but that's where we put our plays up. We just mentioned here what our plays were, if any, just in case. But, again, this is not really going to be in time on this broadcast for anybody to make use of. My three plays for Thanksgiving, Houston, Dallas, and the Jets. Actually, Houston is one of my big three picks for the week. Houston laying 3.5 at Detroit. Dallas laying 3 at home. And I'm having the Jets take the 6.5 in the night game at home against New England. So those are my three.
Why not celebrate the holidays with the road favorite, by the way? When was the last time? I should know this, by the way. I'm kind of wandering aimlessly here in my condo and not sitting by the computer. So I'm just going to sit back down because I could probably answer this question here in 2 minutes. It has certainly been, I think the Pilgrims were roaming the earth the last time Detroit covered on Thanksgiving. So I certainly can't take them, but, I don't like road favorites. Kind of moving on, Dallas and Washington. Normally I like Dallas in this spot, but I, as you know, do not like to lay points to the Cowboys. I went against them last week to the Browns. That game went pretty much exactly to plan. The last game, though, I'll tell you what, I'll get a little exotic on you. I'll give you a little something for the holidays. You're getting bored with the family. You want to scratch that itch. How about going under New England and the Jets? That's not a recommended play, but just something to have a little fun with on Thanksgiving. You're fast, you've eaten too much, and you want to do something. That might be something to go with. I think the Patriots without Gronkowski against the Jets team that scored, more than they usually do last week against the Rams, both kind of have a flat performance Thanksgiving night, and that one will go under. But that's the only thing that kind of interests me on Thanksgiving. I almost wanted to go over Dallas in the Washington game, but, God, I don't want to count on the Cowboys to do anything for me.
I think you really, really don't. There's no question about that. Looking ahead to Sunday.
Although Atlanta, they're right back in it, Ricky. I told you, they might be a team to make it interesting. I still think at the end of the day they're an 8-8 team, like we said at the beginning of the year. But a win here, and they're 6-5, and a lot of people are, in Cowboy land, or at least kind of excited, although I believe it will be false hope, and I'm sure you do, being the Cowboys hater that you are.
It's a huge game in the Metroplex for all the homers that think they're actually a legitimate team and not just a collection of talent. So, yes, it will be very, very interesting.
Oh, very nice there. Not a team, a collection of talents. I like that one.
Yes, thank you, thank you. Actually, we start with a game on Sunday with two teams that really could resemble that remark, I think. Cincinnati at home against Oaktown. The Bengals are laying 8 up from 7 earlier in the week, so the money's been moving that way. And, again, Bengals have come back the last couple weeks from the depths that they had seen earlier in the season there, that middle run there that was just absolutely wretched. But 8 points, it just strikes me again. We've talked about this with teams previously that are you kidding me? I think they're getting a little bit too much respect here. And for a Bengal team that, again, they've rebounded to be at least middle of the pack defensively, 15th against the pass and 18th against the run. It just strikes me this is going to be an opportunity for an Oakland offense that's finally got it going a little bit here, even sans Darren McFadden. I think Oakland gets the back door. It wouldn't shock me altogether if they won this one, as bad as they are. I don't think they will, but I just think Cincinnati's getting too much respect with the 8.
Want to do a little history here? I looked it up. Want to back up 1 second, then I'll answer your very honest question about this game.
Okay.
Detroit, it was 0-3 was the last time they won on Thanksgiving. I just wanted to point that out to all the listeners. 0-3 was the last time they've won on Thanksgiving. They've lost 8 in a row. Now, another bit of history. Do you know what Oakland's record is? Guess where I'm going here in this game. Record in 1 o'clock games. Well, how do you think the Raiders have done since 2007 in 1 o'clock games?
2-48.
Yeah, you're close. You have the wins. At least you're paying attention. 2-15 now with
okay.
The loss. And they got clobbered, don't forget, 2 weeks ago at Baltimore by 35. Now, Cincinnati's not in Baltimore's class. And were this line under 7, I would be tempted to make the Bengals a recommendation. They're starting to round into form. They could be that team. We wondered last week aloud, was the AFC playoff picture set? Obviously, the Roethlisberger injury makes the Steelers a team that you can't be as confident in, and the Colts just got shellacked, maybe even a little bit worse than you and I thought they would against New England, though I believe both of us kind of like New England in that one, if I remember correctly. But I'll give a slight lean to Cincinnati here. You can't – oh, the answer to the question was 2-15, by the way, to the Raiders,
That is horrible.
Yeah, 2-15.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, and that's 0-3 this year. They got crushed at Miami early in the year, 35-13. They did that. They did cover and stick with Atlanta, 23-20, a few weeks later, and then they got clobbered by Baltimore. But I do not back the Oakland Raiders in early games. I would give a slight lean to Cincinnati if you really wanted to play this game. Not one of my three recommended plays, though.
Not one of your three. Okay. All right. Another patented Kyle Roth time zone equals destiny pick here in Cincinnati Bengals.
Hey, I'm telling you, I think I've told you to go. I'm telling you, the Oakland Raiders, that's a bad team, by the way. That's one of the four worst teams. Other than Cleveland, Kansas City, and Jacksonville, I can't name a team worse than the Raiders. Two of their wins are against Jacksonville and Kansas City, and I still don't know how they beat Pittsburgh that one week.
I love how you set me up for the segues here. One of the teams, certainly down there at the depth with the Oakland Raiders, is a pick'em against one of the at least second-level echelon, top echelon teams in the league here in a big rivalry game, or at least what used to be. The Cleveland Browns at home in a pick'em, allegedly against the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's been pretty hard to get a line on this game, but again, you said you told me, Kyle, off air, that this was a pick'em, which I can understand. Pittsburgh down to third-string quarterback Charlie Batch in this game here. Believe it or not, and again, I am a huge Browns cynic as a lifelong Browns fan and as somebody who has suffered through bad regime after bad regime since 99. Again, this is a game where, ironically, the cynic in me can see this, the Browns rallying against a Charlie Batch-led Steeler team and then acting like they accomplished something. In the end, my gut says go with the Steelers in one of these fugly 13-9 kind of games here. So I'm going to say Steelers to win and cover. But, again, if the Browns actually, you know, pulled off the tainted victory, it would not surprise me.
I would believe, even with the aforementioned Chaz Batch under center for the Steelers, I was a little surprised this one was all the way down to a pick'em. And I got that. Bet Online is the only place you can play this game right now. So who knows what could happen with that line. But I think a lot of people are down on the Steelers after, you know, a national TV loss to Baltimore. That's understandable. And also Cleveland, the word's kind of out. They've been pretty kind to me, the Browns. Now, they're not a good team by any means, but they're competitive. Keep in mind, last week's loss to Dallas in overtime kept alive a streak that has seen them only lose one game by more than 10 points, ironically enough. That was to the Giants, a game they led 14-0 at one point. But betting the Browns to cover and betting the Browns to win are obviously two very different things. I couldn't possibly back Cleveland in the spot. And Pittsburgh with a third-string quarterback, I can't really get too crazy about either. Wouldn't shock me though if the Steelers won here. I'll tell you why. Listen to the Browns against Pittsburgh here in recent seasons. This is how many points the Browns. So I'm well prepared this week, Ricky. I'm taking you down memory lane here on a holiday weekend, okay? The Cleveland Browns against the Pittsburgh Steelers, let's just go back in time, have scored 9, 3, 9, 10, 13, 14, 0, and 6 points in the last 8 meetings with Pittsburgh. They have not topped 14 points. I know Pittsburgh looked anemic last week, but who knows? Maybe the defense does something, the other thing, too, for the Browns, they've gone, they're getting Pittsburgh in the middle of the proverbial Baltimore sandwich, so to speak, for lack of a better term, as the Steelers, I'm sure, will be pointing to that game. I just can't get crazy about either side in this price range.
Okay. I don't blame you in looking at it. It is a screwy kind of a game. I do think, again, shocking when you look at it a little bit, the Steelers number one in the league in terms of pass defense. In terms of yardage, 169.3 yards per game. And the Steelers not having drafted a cornerback with a first-round pick since, I believe, 1906. So that's a little bit surprising there. But all the more reason that Brandon Weeden won't be able to fling it all over the yard with impunity. So, yeah.
I wonder what the total is going to be here. Is this going to be the lowest total of the year? I have not seen a total yet for this game. You got to think this is going to be the lowest total of the year so far. I mean, it's barely going to be north of 30. I wouldn't be, you know, part of me, kind of that degenerate of me, wouldn't mind playing the over on that game, you know, just because who thinks there's going to be points scored in this game? The total's going to be really low.
The cynic in me says defensive touchdowns count towards that. So, yeah, a few pick sixes by either side is all it will take.
for sure. Yeah, especially with that kind of history. I mean, what are the Browns going to – I mean, how do you go 8 straight games against the same team without scoring more than 14 points?
I don't know. That really is strange. I certainly don't see that streak ending as it comes right here. I knew when I said 13-9 it was because those numbers were familiar to me. And again, I think you named those numbers a few times in past Browns Steelers games.
Yeah, that's been pretty much the final score of all these games, pretty much, too. So, yeah, I actually think that was, as a matter of fact, last time when they played, it was 13-9, Pittsburgh won.
Okay. Well, I knew there was a reason it sounded familiar. And, again, as a Browns fan, I've been subject to way too many of these games over the years. Next one up here, two more Midwestern teams. It is Buffalo and Indianapolis. The Colts are laying 3 in this one here. It's been a pretty consistent 3 throughout the week. The Bills, again, a very much up and down kind of a team this year. We've joked about them. Tennessee, who beat them in that heartbreaker a couple weeks ago, but the complete lack of consistency with teams such as that. It is because of the lack of consistency of teams like Buffalo and Tennessee and, to a certain extent, Miami, that Indianapolis has been able to come in through the back door here, 6-4. They look like they're the front runner for one of the two wild card spots as we speak here in this game. I'm a little bit surprised, I have to admit, that the line is only 3, and it's basically only accounting for the home field advantage that the Colts have in this one. I would find that a little bit suspicious. Having said that, I'll still be on the Colts. I'll lay the 3. Maybe I'm a sucker.
I knew you would be surprised by this line. I knew you would. I knew we would have that discussion. And quite frankly, I am a little bit too. But Vegas, I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago, Vegas does not like the Colts at all. They have them rated extraordinarily low in their power rankings. I mean, extraordinarily low. I mean, I think they're a fringe top 20 team in the Vegas power rankings, as you might guess from this line. I mean, you said, you know, if you're laying 3, they're essentially giving you the edge for a home field advantage. And, you know, Buffalo's certainly, you know, no top 15, top 10 kind of opponent. That being said, I think last week, and we talked about this, that, you know, the Colts were a team that you and I both had getting the 6 wins. They're already there. No one had them winning more than 6 coming into the year, I'll say that much. I think the AFC race tightens up a little bit here, at least for the wild cards. Buffalo, I'm so glad you brought up that Tennessee game. And Buffalo is a team that, you know, myself, and I wasn't the only one, predicted to make the playoffs this year. Choke on this. They beat Tennessee in that game. They're 5-5, and they're playing to tie Tennessee going after this week with a win. I think the Bills, I'm not sure if they can win the game outright, but I'll take them plus the field goal here. As a matter of fact, we were right, Ricky. I'm looking right now at the Vegas power rankings. Indianapolis rated 21st in the league by Las Vegas right now.
Wow. Colts can't get no respect.
Yeah, below Washington, below Philadelphia, teams like that. That's how low that they are. I mean, well, and, you know, there's a precedent for that. A team that makes a playoff that Vegas just doesn't like. I mean, Denver, the Tim Tebow-led Denver Broncos, were a team that I don't even think cracked the top 20 last year in Vegas' eyes. So there's a precedent for that, and I would not be surprised to see the Bills pulling out right upset here. I think there could be a carryover from that just lambasting the Colts took last week against the Patriots.
Could be. That's an interesting thought on it, by the way. And, again, you took Buffalo to make it as a wild card. I took Tennessee, so we've both gone on two of the most inconsistent teams in the AFC.
If the Bills win this, man, they're right. They're kind of right in it. Go ahead, do yourself a favor if you're listening out there, radio. Look at the Bills' schedule down the stretch. It's really easy. If you remember going back to the previous show, I said the Bills would start slow. I'd look pretty dumb. Now they started a little slower than I thought they would. But their schedule down the stretch is really easy. It's as easy as any teams in the league, I think. If they win here, they can make that run and maybe, just maybe in the end, making me look smart. Small check next to the Bills. They did not make the cut as one of my top 3, but I'll give them a small lean.
Okay. All right, next up here, another rivalry game this week. This one from the AFC West. Two teams in wildly opposite directions. Denver is at Kansas City, rather. This is a 10.5-point line for Denver. Huge road favorite, up from 10 earlier in the week. Something that's very, very strange to me when you look at the statistics here. Kansas City, I mean, I guess it's not so strange when you consider a team with Jamaal Charles, and they've not had a chance to work in Peyton Hillis very much yet, but 4th in the league in rushing offense, 9th in the league in passing defense. You do not expect teams to be top 5 and top 10 in categories and be 1-9 overall, but such is the plight
of the Kansas City Chiefs. We've been laughing all year about how they've been slapping both of us in the face. You earlier in the year because you were a believer in them. Me the last couple of weeks because I've been expecting a little bit of a makeup performance and haven't been getting one. I reminded at the time that my best friend and I thought that we had a roulette system that would rotate between red, black, and when you missed on it, you would double down, and when you missed, you would double down again, and when you missed, you would double down again. And that got me in a little bit of trouble on a trip to Windsor, Ontario, back in my youth here. And I remind you of that because I'm going to go on Kansas City again. I think they can cover the 10.5. I think this could be a little bit of a letdown game for Denver. I got Kansas City sneaking in the back door.
If you have to play this game, you probably have to take the points. Who wants to lay 10.5 on the road? I know Denver has been red hot, and everyone loves them. Are they a tier one team for you yet, Denver?
Yes, I believe I am moving them into my top tier this week.
Okay. Yeah, I've kind of got them battling on the fringe right now. You know, I can make a case that right now, well, until, you know, I could have, but then San Francisco looks so good Monday night, so I can't really work. But Denver, to me, is definitely a top 6 or 7 team in the league. Kansas City, you brought up their stats. They're gaining folks on the year. They could be one of the better 1-9 teams in the history of this league. Look, it's one of my worst picks ever, claiming this team is going to win the AFC West. One word describes their season: turnovers. They're going to have a new quarterback, a new coach next year. I got to sit this one out. Although I would agree, if you had to play, if you had to make a pick, you probably do have to take the points. Denver's just been so hot recently. But, you know, when you look at some of their margins, they're not all that great. I mean, last week they beat San Diego by 7. They beat Cincinnati by 8. You know, they've got another win, obviously, San Diego. Well, the first game they were well behind. So I would say, yeah, I guess if you need to get on this one, take Kansas City. But, you know, I'm not crazy about this game.
Well, the next one that we got up is one of these ones. And by the way, in looking at your deference on that last game as far as making a pick, that one there, another one of these Gordon Solie specials this week here. I remember that one of his sayings used to be, discretion is the better part of valor. And I think we're seeing that a lot.
Yeah, I just think this is one of those games you can't play. It's like Houston-Jacksonville last week. I mean, Jacksonville obviously would have been a very easy winner had you bet them. I just have no interest in playing that kind of game because it's just one of those, I guess you take Kansas City and hold your nose, but, God, it won't be fun to watch.
No. You got to be a real degenerate to want to get down on it. Now, this next one is one where it's been very, very hard to get a line on it because of the injury situation, especially with Jay Cutler. Minnesota at Chicago. The closest that I could come to finding anything was online on one of these regional CBS sites, some speculation that if Cutler didn't play, which I suspect will be the case, that it would be the Bears laying 2. In any instance, I will take the Bears laying the 2 at home. It could be laying 5 if Cutler plays in any instance, but I'm going to say Bears minus 2 since I think Cutler is not going to be in there this week. But I still think at home they have enough. The Bears, again, it's easy to be down on them after the Houston and San Francisco games, but not to oversimplify, the Bears only have lost the top-shelf teams. San Francisco, yep. Houston, and Green Bay. Unfortunately for them, those are the teams they'll be playing in the postseason. Again, I don't think there's a big enough sample size to say that they can't beat those teams. I don't see a team like the Minnesota Vikings that's been regressing to the norm, not as quickly as I thought, but regressing nonetheless. I don't think there's room for them to come into Soldier Field in a must-win game for the Bears if they still want to hang on and win this division. So I'm going to take the Bears to cover.
I mean, obviously, you know, you bring up the teams they've lost to. I have all those teams ranked in my top 4 right now that Chicago lost to. Now, it certainly does hurt my case that before the year I picked the Bears to win the NFC. I'm kind of backing off that right now, Ricky, because here's the issue. If their defense is scoring multiple touchdowns every week, they're not winning by a lot when they do. I would love to pick Chicago here because I'm scratching my head on Minnesota 6-4. I really am. But only speculating on the line, I'll sit this one out. I mean, again, kind of if you made me play it, I'd agree with you. But I just don't care to play it. Certainly not with Jason Campbell. The Bears did look awful Monday night. But, again, that was against a much better class of opponent, albeit one that Minnesota beat earlier in the year, remember. The Vikings are one of those teams I kind of want to stay away from their games because I feel I just misread them badly at the beginning of the season.
Well, we've all got teams where that was the case. But, again, in Minnesota, they'll probably finish around 8-8, but be a mediocre team that kind of played way above its head to get to that record when it's all said and done. From the surging NFC South, a division that has gotten vastly better over the course of the last month, one of the big games of the week here, Atlanta at Tampa Bay, started as a pick'em. It is now up to Atlanta weighing 1.5. So the public seems to be on them pretty good after really two ugly performances here. One in the way that they lost in New Orleans, and then that backdoor win that they had over Arizona in what might have been a look-ahead game, a sandwich game perhaps, last week. Very interesting. I've seen that good friend of the show, Jeff Briscoe from the 21st Century Media Alliance, commenting down. He is based out of the Fort Myers area. He's been commenting on the slow ticket sales for Tampa Bay for this must-win game, their biggest game in the last couple of years. It'll be a shame if they're not there at the new sombrero to see this one, because this is one that I see Tampa Bay winning in. I see them extending the way that they've been going recently here on offense. I don't think they're going to make a challenge for the division. You know me. I don't go against the Falcons very often. But they're in a little bit of a slump right now. 9-1, relatively speaking, but they're in a little bit of a slump. And I think Tampa Bay, needing this one to stay in the wild card hunt, gets it done at home. I like the Bucs and the 1.5. You're speechless, Kyle.
I don't think either of these teams are as good as their record. You know me.
No.
I'm not as crazy about the Falcons as you are. I think they're going to earn, again, for the second time in 3 years, home field advantage throughout the NFC playoffs. But I still wouldn't be crazy about picking them to win at home. They're going to play like a Green Bay or a Chicago or a Giants probably in that first game. Who's going to be crazy about taking the Falcons in that spot? I think Tampa Bay is way overperforming out of its head. This just missed my three recommended plays for the week. I like the Falcons, believe it or not, here slightly. If they weren't, they're not nearly as good on the road as they are at home. I went against this team last week at home. I thought that was way too many points to lay in a letdown spot off their first loss of the year to a desperate Arizona team. But Tampa Bay is going to have their attention this week. This is a very important division game. He talks about how all of a sudden a division that appeared Atlanta was going to run away with has gotten a lot more interesting with Tampa Bay and New Orleans. More on them later, by the way, in this show. A little spoiler alert I got with the Saints. But I think they're the team, not Tampa Bay, that's going to make Atlanta sweat a little harder. So I give a small lean to the Falcons here.
We must be in some kind of parallel universe where I'm not picking the Falcons and they're one of Kyle's recommended plays of the week. This is outstanding.
No, they're not a recommended play. This is small.
Oh, they're not a record. Okay.
Yeah, just a small lean.
Lean. Okay.
Yeah, just a small lean. No, that they are not one of my three recommended plays.
All right. Now that is still very surprising that we differ nonetheless on different sides of Atlanta. I'm finding that to be very interesting and coincidental, as I'm based out of the Atlanta area for this week's show. Next up here, Seattle at Miami. And again, I joked about it earlier in the year. I think I was wrong on every Seahawks game until about week 6 or week 7. I've gotten a little bit better on the plays of them the last couple of weeks. I had a little bit of trouble finding a line for this one, Kyle. What have you found?
Seattle -1.
They're weighing 1. Okay. Again, in this spot, on the road, and I talked about it earlier this year, Russell Wilson, obviously he's played a lot better at home. He's at a lot better comfort level at home. But again, we're at a point in time here for teams where the die is cast one way or another. The Dolphins, the last couple weeks, the die is cast against them. They're not making the playoffs. At 4-6, they had their opportunity. Starting with that loss to Indianapolis, they blew it. Seattle still has something very tangible to play for. They've got a very, very difficult defense. And, oh, by the way, Miami has their own rookie quarterback in Ryan Tannehill. So either way, you're having to pick a rookie QB. I'll take Wilson. I'll take the more battle-tested Seattle team on the road. They haven't been as good on the road, but I'll take Seattle weighing the 1 at Miami.
Definitely seeing this one out. Not even a small lean either way. You're right. Miami has taken two really bad losses the last 2 weeks that have taken them completely out of contention. You could argue that when they went up to Indianapolis and lost, that one really stung. We talked about the winner of that game. We stood a good chance to get to 6-3. The Colts did. The Dolphins have gone the other way. Horrible loss to Tennessee, which you would have thought, you know, maybe had they beaten Indianapolis, they keep things going, they could beat Tennessee at home. Instead, they suffered their worst home loss in 68 that week, falling 37-3 to the Titans. And then they looked just awful last Thursday against Buffalo. So I can't back them. But Seattle, you know, they're like the Utah Jazz in the NBA. You take them at home, you fade them on the road. I can't do it, but I can't in this case make it a good sell for Miami. So this is a total sit-out for me.
Okay. All right. I can understand
that. Sit-out for me. No interest in this game whatsoever. I can't. I mean, some of these games just missed the cut, like in Atlanta or Cincinnati. You know, I could definitely get with them if you made me, but this game, no way. Can't make a compelling case for either side.
If you like a side in this next one, I'd be shocked. It's the Kyle Ross Mutual Disdain Bowl, as Baltimore is at San Diego.
Oh.
Two teams that you haven't thought as much of as the general public.
I love surprising you, Ricky. I love surprise. Notice I have three recommended plays, and we haven't talked about any of them yet. So the odds suggest that we're getting to my plays.
We probably will be in the final 15 minutes of the program here. Baltimore is laying one at San Diego in this instance. Again, all things being equal, Baltimore may be coming off a little bit of a letdown, as you said. Another Pittsburgh game looms. This is kind of a sandwich game. They got to travel to the West Coast. So I will go for the Kyle Ross time zone play here and take the Chargers at home, getting the one.
Love where your head's at. This is the first of three recommended plays this week. There aren't a lot of stats to support this one. I'm pretty much going off what you just said. Baltimore's in the middle of a Pittsburgh sandwich. They're going out to the West Coast. They're not a very good road team. And quite frankly, I don't think they're anywhere as good as their 8-2 record would seem to indicate. Give me San Diego, first of three recommended plays. Chargers pull the upset. With their
season
on the line, I mean, jobs are on the line out there. What, are they going to lose every game the rest of Norv Turner's tenure? I think this is the one final flicker of hope in the Norv Turner era. Although I've been saying that for 4 years now.
Yeah, but it's bound to be true one of these days, and I think this is one of those days.
No. Yeah, I just think Baltimore, I kind of hope they get a first-round bye so I can play against them in that first playoff game. But this team, they're not as good as their 2 record indicates.
No, especially with the defensive injuries that they've had. San Francisco is at New Orleans. The 49ers on the road laying a point. That's been pretty steady all week, I think, pretty much with the other line. You're not moving at all. Again, New Orleans has been riding high. They're coming off a huge win in Oaktown. I didn't think they'd get it done last week. They did, playing the other Bay Area team at home. Once again, I will go against them. I think I'll be right this week. I like the 49ers laying the one on the road. I think they're going to cut short this hot streak of New Orleans, even if only temporarily.
Everybody loves San Francisco right now, don't they, off that Monday night game?
Yep.
Give me the Saints as my second recommended play of the week.
Wow.
Give me New Orleans at home. This team is finding its stride. They're ultimately going to come up short for the playoffs. I still think I've got Seattle penciled in for that second wild card, but the Saints are going to make this thing real interesting. Ultimately, that 0-4 start is going to be what doomed them. At home, 49ers really think they don't think right now. Make it a short week. The Saints, we all know how great they are at home. They were 9-0 against the spread and straight up in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome last year. Saints, keep it going. This is my second of three recommended plays.
Colin Kaepernick, you can't stop him. You can only hope to contain him. We shall see.
I was shocked by that. He was in a real gimmicky offense. And anyone who watched him play in Nevada, that was one of those gimmicky offenses of all time, that pistol that they've been running for 800 years under Chris Ault. Out in Reno, I was stunned by how good he was. There's no way if he does play again this week, there's no way he can top. Even though it's just a terrible defense, I realize that betting on that same defense to come through with you can be suicide. I mean, not to use a gory term, but I mean, I've played the Saints before. Their defense has made me uneasy. I think they'll outscore San Francisco here. Remember, a revenge game too for last year's playoffs.
That's true. It certainly is. And it was a gift to every hack headline writer in the country on Tuesday. Bears defense gets pistol whipped. So that was something that they had in their favor the next day.
Very upset about that.
Yeah, exactly. This next one here,
barely worth talking about. What a stinker of a game here. It is St. Louis at Arizona. The Cards are laying 2.5 up from 1 earlier in the week. Inexplicably, then that must mean that the rapidly fading Cardinals have had a bunch of money on them, as best as I can tell. Cannot figure out why. I like the Rams in this one here. I understand they look like dog crap against the Jets last week, but I cannot go on Arizona at this point. They're complete offensive ineptitude.
Who's this guy? What, Ryan Kapp might be getting the start for who's the kid that might be getting the start for Arizona this week? I always got Ryan Kapp and Ryan Lindley confused in college. It's one of those two.
That's who it is, Kapp, yeah.
Yeah, okay, Ryan Kapp. I always got him and Ryan Lindley confused. I mean, you can't make a case here for either side. These are the two worst teams in the NFC, not named Philadelphia. So, no thanks. No thanks.
Yeah, I don't blame you. A real Officer Barb Brady, nothing to see here special. No question about that. next one that we got up here is the Monday nighter. We'll skip Sunday night here because that's one of my big three plays. Philadelphia hosting.
Me too. Could we agree? Really? That's my third. Yeah.
Okay. Philadelphia is hosting Carolina. Again, it's been a real Vietnam situation here, trying to get a line on this game. The closest that I could find online was a pick'em in this instance. That being the case, I'll put Carolina on the road just because I think it would be grossly irresponsible to take Philly under any circumstances right now. This is a team that got out there, book of stamps, and mailed it in last week against Washington. They have nothing to play for, certainly not even a tie at this point. As bad as Carolina has been, as much as you want to dog Ron Rivera, and I'm right there with you on a lot of it, I'll take Carolina to rally in a meaningless Monday nighter.
You probably love that ESPN stuck with this game, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, well, you know what? They'll make chicken salad out of chicken soup. Don't worry. The great Mike Tirico and my good personal friend, John Gruden, I'm sure we'll find a way to do something here. But, you know, no line, so what can you do? I wouldn't be surprised to see the Eagles slightly favored. I'd like to see Carolina getting a couple points. I could get real interested. Remember how I said Kansas City is maybe like one of the better 1-9 teams in history, which isn't saying much?
Yeah.
That goes double for Carolina 2-8. They played two bad games all year. I'm standing by that pick at the beginning of the year when I said this team could have snuck in the playoffs. If the ball bounces the other way in half these games, they're in the thick of the playoff race. Ron Rivera stinks as a coach. That's the only thing. I mean, I think both these coaches are going to be fired, by the way, at the end of the year. That goes without saying. Philadelphia, I alluded to when we talked about the St. Louis Arizona game, I've got them as the worst team in the NFC. I won't bet. I'm not playing them the rest of the year. They could lose out. Except maybe Andy Reid's home finale where they, if they have any guts at all, they'll show up and play inspired ball. But last time I checked, this was not the last game of the year. I'd give a slight lean to Carolina here. But with no line, obviously, it can't be recommended.
No, it can't be. We'll go to the Sunday nighter since my lock play is the other game we haven't talked about yet. The battle of the last two Super Bowl champions. It's Green Bay at the Giants. This is a game where, revenge game coming off of last year for the Packers. Also going back to the last time the Giants won the Super Bowl. So it's been a real, real interesting situation here the last couple of years. The Giants in the games that have really, really counted having the number of the Green Bay Packers coming into this one here. The Giants are laying 3 in this one, up from 1 earlier in the week. That shows a decent amount of traffic, apparently, towards Green Bay. I'm going to go against the public on this one. One of my three recommended picks for the week here, the Giants. I think the people are down on them excessively at this point. I understand that they're in their usual November swoon. I think it stops here. I picked them earlier in the season against Philadelphia on a Sunday nighter. Didn't happen there. I think I'm going to be right this time. I like the Giants to cover against Green Bay at home.
Yeah, it's just bought their bye. They're a desperate team. Green Bay was very fortunate not only to just cover but to win in Detroit last week. They have multiple injuries on both sides of the football. got to go with the G-men, don't you? I mean, what are they going to – I mean, the pressure's on, off the bye. And Green Bay's been hot. They haven't lost in a while. So, you know, I'm gonna back the Giants here, although I don't like how that line's come up. God, I love them at one. You know, I'm not going to like them. I'm going to get a little scared if that line climbs over three. I'm going to get real scared because they're not going to blow Green Bay out by any means, but the Giants are my third of three recommended picks this week, joining the Chargers and Saints.
Okay, so you're going,
I just realized what your lock of the week is.
Should I be ashamed of myself?
Yes.
A very shameless, characteristic Rick Morris lock pick here. My 1,000-star gold-plated lock of the millennium for NFL Week 12. I am 7-4 on my lock picks for the season here, doing pretty good thus far. Again, we talked about it earlier in the program, a team that has been so far up and down right now, the Tennessee Titans. This is a real, real, real strange one here. They are at Jacksonville. They're only weighing three. I think, again, and this is opinionized, this is not my own opinion. It's one that I'm stealing from somebody I read online that I can't remember who it was, but I think the odds makers showing excessive deference to Jacksonville coming off of the Houston game last week. It was a great performance by them and by your boy Chad Henne in a circumstance where Houston didn't have a chance to prepare for them. Tennessee still having a scintilla of something to play for. Probably nothing at this point here, although, again, if they run the table, things could get interesting. I don't think they're going to run the table. I don't think they're going to come close, but I think they're going to start whatever winning streak they do go on here. I like Tennessee laying the three against Jacksonville. That's my lock for the week.
No thanks. This is a game that I have zero, one of a handful of games I have zero interest for. This is right alongside that Seattle, Miami, and Arizona, St. Louis for me. Just no interest in this one. You can't play Jacksonville. They've proven time in, time out that anytime they're a small home dog, they're, you know, not worth, you know, anything. You know, they're not worth the I can't think of an expression right now. Usually I'm so good with that. But they stink is what I'm trying to say. But at the same time, who wants to lay points with Tennessee on the road? Are you kidding me? What's wrong with you?
Again, I think Tennessee should be weighing more in this circumstance. Are you saying
this is a play? This is your usual play against Jacksonville as long as the line is in 16, I assume.
See, and I had Jacksonville last week as a winner. I thought it would be a back door, and it was almost way more than that.
I don't know. These are just too off. I still have Tennessee rated as one of the worst teams in the league.
Yeah, I mean, Tennessee is no great shakes.
Yeah, I mean, normally Jacksonville plus three, I mean, you want to look at the other side all the way, and I did here, but I just, laying points with Tennessee just is a no-thank-you situation.
They're
coming off their bye, right? They didn't play last, because I was just thinking about,
yes.
What did the Titans do last week? And that's right, they're off their bye, but still. And, you know, they played easily their best game of the year the week before against Miami. So, yeah, they have a little momentum, but no, I'm not laying points with them on the road.
Jacksonville, in a losing effort, probably played their best game of the year, they being a 1-9 franchise. But, yeah, Tennessee, one of my three lock my lock pick, I should say, one of my big three picks of the week, along with Houston on the Thursday game, which, of course, that being plugged up on the FDH Lounge Twitter account, and also the Giants on the Sunday night. Are you agreeing with me on the Giants in the battle of the last two Super Bowl champions? Additionally, your picks being San Diego and New Orleans, both as very short dogs. So it will be very interesting to see how these play out, Kyle. And, again, be checking out all the action here this week. We've really been coming through for the people. You with your outstanding 27-16-1 record thus far on the season on your recommended plays. Your momentum has been going very, very strong. It's a documented 63%. So well played as always, my friend. Looking forward to seeing how this week's slate shakes out as always.
Yeah, I'm just, it's a busy week, Ricky, in our industry right now. It is a busy week. Friday, Saturday, it's football all weekend. I got to get to work. I will see you next week. Have a wonderful time in Atlanta. And thank you all out there in Radio Land. You've been a beautiful audience.
You all have been. Thank you. I echo Kyle's sentiments. And thank you, Kyle, for another great one. FDH Lounge mini episode number 216.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.